fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're continuing our journey today through the Acts of the Apostles, with a particular story of St. Peter and St. John as they've been leading the apostles and proclaiming the gospel at the temple. And they're in being engaged, and they're in conflict with the religious leaders who want them to stop talking about Jesus. As I'm reading through the Acts of the Apostles, I've had in mind these weeks the apostolic exhortation from Pope Francis called Evangelii Gaudium, which means the joy of the gospel. It's a wonderful document. If you've never read it, I encourage you to go on the web. You can get it for free. Just download it. Just Google Evangelii Gaudium, and it'll come right up on the page. Just click on it, download it, read it, print it out if you want to. It's an exhortation really from the heart of Pope Francis, and it's an exhortation that is calling us to, I believe, the kind of reality that we're seeing here in the Acts of the Apostles. Because what's happening here is the unfolding of the mission of the church, the fundamental mission of the church, its purpose, its mandate from the Lord, and really the promise of the Lord for the power and the help to be able to fulfill that mandate is happening in the lives of the apostles as we read each day, step by step, how Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, is unfolding the story of what they witnessed in the life of the early church. Just to touch on Evangelii Gaudium for a moment. The apostles go forward to proclaim who Christ is and want to bring people into relationship with Jesus, into repentance, the baptism, into new life, into real relationship with Jesus, to encounter him. And one of the first things Pope Francis talks about in Evangelii Gaudium, he said, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or for her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. This is exactly the heart of the apostles, the joy of the King, the joy of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death, the joy of the Holy Spirit given to them to be able to share in the kingdom of God and the Lord's plan. The Holy Father looks over the church today and he sees many of the baptized living without the conviction, living without the experience of the joy of the Holy Spirit that enables them to see Jesus, to encounter Jesus, and to know who Christ is. He said that joy is the source, really. What's the source of the joy? The source of the joy is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit revealing to us who Christ is. And it's from that joy comes an energy, comes a conviction, comes a new capacity to be able to go forth, to come outside ourselves, and to enter into what he calls a new missionary moment, a new missionary age. He said, well, Francis says, oh, how I dream of a new missionary moment. He said, mission is fueled by the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we see in the lives of the apostles. He said, a Spirit-filled evangelizer means this. He's calling us all to be Spirit-filled evangelizers. He said, this is what it is. It means to be fearlessly open to the working of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we see in the apostles. What does it mean to be fearlessly open? Let's read the apostles. Let's read the Acts of the Apostles and how they received the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill what God has called them to. I think it's easy when we read this stuff to feel like it's so far from our daily experience, and the life of the apostles is so different from our own that it's hard to connect with it. But I think it's helpful if we put ourselves in the situation that we read about with the lives of the apostles and understand that even though we live in a different time in history, in a different location, life is moving at a faster pace, we have more distractions, we have more responsibilities, you might say, but ultimately, the call is no different. The whole Christian community is born into mission. That's what Pope Francis reminds us of again and again. He said, for example, every parish is a community of missionary disciples really living in a constant state of mission. And when he underlines that, when he emphasizes that, what he's talking about is the kind of mission that we see unfold in the lives of the apostles. So today, we're in Acts chapter 5. Again, what we have here is Peter and John and others having been arrested by the religious leaders. And the reading begins with the high priest and all his companions, that is the party of the Sadducees, it says, they were filled with jealousy to see the crowds following the apostles, to see how many people were joining the apostles and becoming followers of Jesus and entering really the church, the beginning of the church. They were jealous. They were angry. So the reading tells us here in Acts chapter 5, they laid hands upon the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and led them out and said this. So the angel of the Lord, the help of the Spirit, whoever the Lord sent to help them, it's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that is acting there. He's the central actor, the primary agent of the unfolding of the mission of the church. And now the leaders wanted to silence the apostles. Jesus wants the apostles to proclaim the gospel. Who has the power? Christ has the power. So he acts, the Lord acts on their behalf, and he comes to them, and the angel literally somehow opens the door and then speaks to the apostles and said, go and take your place in the temple area. It's exactly what the religious leaders told them not to do. And it told them if they did, they would be in big trouble. So the angel said, go take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life. It's a very helpful and important description here. What does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to take our place wherever we are, in whatever stage of life we're at, whatever community we're a part of, wherever we live, to be ready and open to take our place when the time is right, when the opportunity arises, to be able to tell people everything about this life. Well, what is this life? It's the new life in the Holy Spirit. It's the life of Jesus Christ, the risen one that's been poured into the hearts of the apostles. And they're living a new way of life. They're living with the Lord. Jesus is now the center of their life, and everything about their life revolves around him and his message and what he's accomplished in us. So this is what the apostles are being empowered and taught and formed by the Lord to proclaim. So it says, when they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. When the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin. That's the religious body, the governing body of the people of Israel there, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. They didn't know what happened at night that the angel appeared and released the apostles. They didn't know the apostles were in the temple. They just were convening to deal with the problem that the apostles were creating. But the court officers who went did not find them in prison. So they came back and reported, we found the jail securely locked and the guards stationed outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. How did this happen? Then someone came in and reported to them, the men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people. Then the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. So what the religious leaders are concerned about is that people are so captivated by the apostles, by the power of their message, by the presence and power of God with them, by the working of signs and wonders, they didn't want to lay hold of them and arrest Peter and John because they thought the people would turn against them. So here's the unfolding. There's tension, and it's important for us to be able to see there's never a time, really, in the world, in history, when the direct proclamation of the gospel is received with great fanfare and everybody's happy. There's always resistance. Why? Because there's a war between two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the kingdom of the devil of this world. The apostles were absolutely clear about that. Because why? Jesus was absolutely clear about it, and they experienced firsthand the enemy set against them. St. John the Apostle said that the whole world is in the power of the devil. This whole dimension of our existence here on earth that resists God, that's behind it, is the will of the enemy, powerful enemy, that has enslaved the human race and brought us into rebellion against God. And Jesus has come to break that rebellion and to establish his kingdom, to plant his flag in every human heart, to set people free so they can live with the Lord. Now you see, that's the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. We see the drama unfolding there. Now there's a gospel reading each day, as you know, as well, and the gospel reading is taken from John 3:16, the famous passage that pretty much everybody's heard at one time or another at sporting events, big ones. Once in a while, someone's holding up a big sign that says John 3:16. And this is what it says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Why did Jesus come? The only Son of God? Excuse me, because God loved the world. God loves his creation. God sent his Son for what? To bring eternal life to all those separated from God. It goes on, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The world needs saving. I need saving. You need saving. Everyone does. Jesus has come as Savior of the world to bring us one heart at a time into his life in baptism, out of the world through repentance and baptism into a new life in the Spirit in the church. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. How do we escape condemnation? And what's condemnation but judgment, separation from God? Still stuck in our sins in that place of rebellion and literally, as St. Paul said, living without hope in the world in a death-directed existence, separated from God. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. How do you escape condemnation? Believe in the Son of God. Surrender your entire life to him. Entrust everything to him and believe his diagnosis of who you are and what he's come to accomplish. He said, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Well, because if we don't believe in Jesus, we're still in our sins. And so we're in a place of condemnation. If we die in that sin-sick condition, we die separated from God. He goes on, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it's not just believe in a generic God or the God I feel comfortable with or the God I create for myself or even me believing in myself as a God that I can somehow save myself. It's believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. Here's, every once in a while I talk about the diagnosis that Jesus brings. He diagnoses the human condition, the human heart. That means he's got the diagnosis for each and every one of us. And this is what we see in the world today in spades. But this is the verdict, Jesus said. This is the judgment that has come. The light has come into the world. God's light, the light of the Creator. God who created us has come to lay claim to what belongs to him. That's us. And to give us light. This is the verdict, Jesus said, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He's come to call us from darkness to light. And there's darkness in every human heart. And we need to see that and say yes to Jesus, repent of our sins, say yes to him, enter his church, let him lay hold of us, hold on tight, and let him lead us from darkness to light. He will transform and change our hearts and lead us from condemnation to eternal life. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.